Islam, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, with which we have a link, a connection, a relationship. Islam itself is beautiful, and everything associated with Islam is beautiful. The example of this, the example of the beauty of Islam, if you take it like this, is like a very beautiful garden, and we enter into that garden. And every flower of that garden is beautiful and fragrant and smells nice. And whichever flower we pass by looks beautiful and smells beautiful and nice and fragrant. And Islam is the same in concept, that Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, everything associated with Islam is beautiful. Everything that is associated with Islam is beautiful. Within Islam, within the deen of Islam, the framework, the arrangement is beautiful, very nice. And the beautiful framework of Islam establishes the environment and the society around us. And this is the concept and this is the consequence of Islam, which we call an Islamic environment. And the speciality of the Islamic environment is that the meaning of Islam is aman, peace. So the speciality, the unique characteristic of an Islamic environment is that you will find peace in that environment, sakina, tranquility, shanti, total peace, and you have the mercy in the hearts, between the hearts, and you have consideration for each other, thoughtfulness for each other, dedication for each other. Within that society, that environment, that is the first and foremost point that you will see, which is the consideration and love for each other between the people. And it's such a beautiful environment, the Islamic environment, that a person thinks that he's sitting in paradise. And this is the Islamic environment. And this is the link that we keep with the Islamic environment, or we are associated with the Islamic environment. And this is the objective that we should have, that we want to live in a peaceful and nice and beautiful environment. But unfortunately, today is the opposite. There is, you can say, a lot of noise, and there's no peace. There's facade and fighting and quarreling and disputes and quarrels outside, quarrels in the home, people arguing over the houses, people arguing with the neighbors, people arguing amongst their relatives. In other words, totally opposite. So we say that we are Islamic, we follow Islam, and that we should have a beautiful, peaceful Islamic environment. But unfortunately, today's reality, the ground reality, practically in our society and localities, is totally opposite to this concept. And we have crushed and demolished that concept of the Islamic and the peaceful environment. And the reason for this is that we did not give importance to this subject. Islam, first and foremost, promotes and establishes and spreads the peace and the aman in society. And we have the theory of this, we have the knowledge of this, and we talk about this a lot. We emphasize a lot on ibadah, worship. For example, nafal, voluntary ibadah. You have to book the ticket 1 year before. You can't get the seat on the plane. Okay, that's a good thing. But if we want to look towards akhlaq, good conduct, and good manners, and sociology, then we have zero emphasis on this. This is not important for us. Somebody beats somebody else, no problem. Somebody murders someone else, no problem. Somebody takes somebody's rights or haq, no problem. If somebody gives somebody else pain, no problem. If there's facade in our home or our locality, we say no problem. We turn a blind eye. But really, in reality, the status or importance of akhlaq and social intercourse is ibadah. This is worship. And we have put this on the byline, into touch. We've kicked this important ibadah, worship, into touch. Very important worship this is. Social interaction and intercourse. And by implementing it correctly, you get paradise. And by doing it incorrectly, there are punishments. There's the punishments of hellfire, or the rewards of paradise. Both things on both sides are there, but we don't lay importance. We don't place emphasis on this subject. We have no emphasis on islah, rectification. Islah is when a person is rectified, when he improves himself, purifies himself. If we do islah, then we will be improved. If a person shouts, oh, there are mice, in my home. Oh, have you tried to get them out? No, I haven't tried to get them out. So then how will the mice leave? How will they depart? They will just stay there and they will multiply and increase. And in the same way, we have a deficiency, a disease or illness in our society, in our homes, in our lives, in our society environment, but we don't work hard to remove that issue. So we emphasize a lot on ibadah, physical worship, ibadat, nafal salah, etc. But not on akhlaq, not on social intercourse, not on mu'ashara, not on how we should be in society amongst each other. Allah says in the Quran, O you who believe, wajtanibu. Allah Ta'ala gives an order. Wajtanibu kathiran min al-dhan. Yes. Allah Ta'ala said that totally in the same way Allah Ta'ala orders us, tells us to pray salah, keep the fast, do hajj. Allah Ta'ala gives a hukum, a order, O you who believe, that your thoughts, your guman, be away and keep away from suspicion. Keep away from harboring bad thoughts about other people, because this is a sin and it can become even a bigger sin or a bigger calamity. It's a small verse. Small verse. How many times we've read this, but we bypass this verse. And who is Allah Ta'ala ordering here? Allah Ta'ala is saying that totally we have to be aware of badghumani. Because badghumani, where you're harboring ill thoughts, ill feeling, or suspicions, or slander, or things like that against other people, negative thoughts and feelings against other people that are not based on ground reality, this is dangerous. Have we ever considered that this is a bad thing? Badghumani is such a disease. Allah Ta'ala is not telling us to stay away from something for nothing. Allah Ta'ala says that this that I've mentioned to you, this will destroy the whole of the Islamic environment. This is enough. That if there's fasad in the home, it is due to badghumani. If there's fights and disputes within the relatives, or disputes between the husband and the wife, divorce, or enmity, murder, envy, backbiting, you name it. All of the diseases I've just mentioned, the root cause of this is badghumani. Is a person, Allah Ta'ala says that disaffection is the root cause of this, that within minutes it can finish off us. And how does this come? Suspicion. Where does this come? Disaffection and suspicion. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has stated, there's hadith on the Quranic verses there, and the hadith, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated this hadith, that the Holy Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that badghumani, suspicion, is the worst form of lie. It is the worst lie. This is a lie. If I say, have you eaten? And you say, I have not eaten. But you've eaten, then that's a lie. So badghumani, suspicion, is worse than this. A worse form of sin than lying. Why? Because what is suspicion? Hey, let's have a look. Let's analyze this today. Suspicion, disaffection, where you harbor negative thoughts against somebody else. It's nothing. It's empty. You have a thought. A thought comes in your mind that this person's looking at me. Oh, definitely he's envious of me. He's looking at me for a certain reason. And he passes by you and you say, oh no, his niyyah was not good. His intention was good. So you are creating these feelings within yourself. That person or no one else has told you anything. For example, somebody comes past you or near to you. He looks at you in a certain way and you think, ah, he's seen someone. Somebody's spoken to him. Oh, my husband, you know, he goes out to the shopping center. I've got doubts about him. He goes, where does he go? What does he do? Who does he meet? Tijara, business. Oh, he's envious of me. That's why my stock hasn't sold recently. Because this person is envious of me. So such thoughts, when they are created in the heart of a person, what happens then? When the suspicions are harbored and festered and increase and strengthen, then those suspicions become feelings, emotions, and then they increase, multiply. Oh, my wife, she's not a good woman. Oh, she's doing wrong things. And he makes a yaqeen of that. Then he starts to spy on her. Then they start quarreling. Then they start arguing. And many homes are destroyed due to this. And in reality, there's nothing in essence in that instance. For example, friends, very good friendships are annihilated, destroyed. Or relationships are destroyed. No, I've got suspicion. They didn't want to call us. They didn't want to invite us. Oh, but there's nothing. There's no issue. And this is the worst form of lie, said the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because there's no basis to the suspicion. But the suspicion that is harbored and festered and multiplied and fed, that suspicion becomes thoughts and they multiply. And within that suspicion there's backbiting and envy and jealousy and quarreling and fighting and arguments, to the extent that this reaches to qatl and murder. And this is our environment. Why? Have we ever tried to rectify ourselves or remove this disease from our hearts? Have we ever thought, why is this the case within me? What is the cure for this? We've never thought. Never. Despite the fact that look how suspicion is destroying our environment. And the Quran is ordering that suspicion is a very bad thing. Never create suspicion within your hearts and minds. Never allow this to spread and foster. So the problem here is that we have not done islah on this sin, on this disease. We've never thought, we've never emphasized on the fact that we need to rectify this issue. But Islam is a beautiful deen, beautiful way of life, beautiful religion. We should not have any bad thoughts or suspicions about against anyone in the world. We should have good thoughts and feelings. If somebody is looking at you and you think, oh, is this a good way or a bad way? You should think that, no, he's looking at me in a nice way, for my benefit. And then Allah Ta'ala, even if that person is negative, Allah Ta'ala will change and switch his thoughts to good ways and beneficial ways and positive ways. And you think in your heart, oh, he's my enemy, he's thinking bad against me, why is he looking at me like this? And then you'll say, no, he's like my friend, he's doing good for me, he's thinking good for me. And even though you may have negative feelings in your heart against that person, or they may have bad feelings about you in their heart, and you have good thoughts against them, you have good feelings against them, good emotions, then that positive feeling will develop and come into the heart of that person, even though you may be right about their negative feelings, and automatically that negative feeling within their heart, their suspicions and bias will start to decrease and wither away and get weak. So let's go to the point where that person is a nice person, he has good feelings about you, doesn't have bad feelings about you, and you have suspicion and bad thoughts and feelings, and in reality there's nothing wrong with that person, he is a good person. But because you got badghumani and badzani, then all those bad feelings of yours will turn your friendship into enmity. The relationships will be destroyed. Bad situations will come about within the people. And families will get affected. And big great friends will get destroyed. And great good links will be finished within days. So this is a very big sin. A very big sin. It becomes a very big sin. One bad thought becomes a very big sin and can become a very bad physical consequence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is a sin. Be careful, be aware of this. Do islah. Rectify this illness that is within your hearts. So how do we do islah? How do we improve ourselves? How do we rectify ourselves so that we can eliminate the sin of suspicion and bad thoughts and bad feelings against someone? To develop bad feelings and thoughts in your heart, and to develop bad thoughts and feelings and suspicions against other people external to you. Do these come to you or not? Of course they come. For example, you'll have a bad thought against a office colleague or a friend of yours. Everywhere in the walks of life they come. In the masjid, bad feelings come, bad thoughts comes, in madrasas come. And in every part of life, every phase, every place, there are enmities that develop and foster and spread. 90% of our enmities or negative feelings are based on bad thoughts and feelings. There's no basis to those apart from suspicion. And Islam has given a beautiful cure. I just thought about this suddenly. That, for example, a person who is here, he's thinking bad about me. So the first step to cure this disease, this illness, this sin, is that, why are you thinking like this? Have you got proof? Okay, leave it. You're speaking rubbish, you're thinking rubbish. Leave these negative feelings and things. Or if someone comes to you and says that this person wants to beat you, you should say, have you got proof? Be gone with you, I don't want to hear you. So whenever thoughts and feelings and emotions are developing within you against another person, and you feel, no, this is true, this person feels bad, you totally, straight away, immediately reject those thoughts and feelings, and don't let those negative feelings to develop and increase, so that straight away in step number one, square number one, you wipe away that sin and the bad feelings and emotions. And straight away the suspicion, you bring it into a positive light and say, I don't believe this, I don't accept this. Totally reject the negative feelings and emotions and suspicions you have against other people if there's no basis for them. When you do this, then automatically your feelings will start to cool down. They will start to become correct. And you won't realize, and those feelings and bad negative thoughts will disappear. Beautiful. So this is one very good cure for this issue. And after that, the problem will not increase. It will not develop. It will not get worse. And if you get a doubt, If you get a doubt, or if the yaqeen, your certainty increases on your doubt or your suspicions, or if you see something or hear something, you think, no, no, there are some hints that this suspicion of mine is a fact, then you need to go to the next step, solution number two. What should you do? Straight away you should step forth and go to that person against whom you've got suspicion or bad feeling or bad thoughts and say, look, I've realized something, that you are not happy with me on something. Is there such a situation? If there is a problem, then definitely that person will say, yes, there was an issue in my heart against you and this was the matter. Will he not tell you? Of course, yes, you're right, you're honestly, you're speaking right, and he will open up again and tell you, and the facts will come out in front of you. But if there isn't an issue, then he'll respond to you, say, no, 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 there's no problem, I don't know why you're thinking this. Then you'll say, okay, no problem, it's my mistake, sorry, I confronted you on this. And if there is an issue from the other person, the other brother or sister, then they'll say, yes, you are right, I did have bad feelings and thoughts against you, there was an issue, but I was wrong, and I retract this, and then straight away that problem will be eliminated. So this is step number two, islah. To do step number two, to confront and challenge that, you have to do one thing before that. That what will stop you is takabbur, kibar and pride. That if I go to this brother or this party and say, you're thinking bad against me, or you're saying bad against me, or you're doing bad against me, and if I do this, he'll think bad of me, or I'll be disrespected. No, you are going to confront and challenge an issue positively. Allah Ta'ala will help you, assist you, so do it. Otherwise, if you stop, you refrain and keep the thoughts in your heart and don't confront and challenge it with that person, then they'll become a big azab for you, a punishment for you, a problem for you, and the problem will get worse. This is a great ibadah. To confront a problem positively, nicely and fairly, you will save yourself and the other party from a bigger issue. So don't think that, oh, I'm going to speak to that person, maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, maybe they don't have issues against me, or maybe they do, and you don't confront it, you don't challenge it, you don't go and speak to that person, you don't open your heart up, then you will be bringing up more azab on your life. So Allah Ta'ala says, you are doing this for thawab, for reward. You should have the intention that you're not going for that person's sake, you're not going for your sake. Don't think, oh, I have to lower myself, I'll disrespect myself, I have to request that person. Just like the muazzin, he calls out the adhan for the prayer. What do? You respond to that, you run. Allah's calling. Finish off your dunya for your life at that time and run to the masjid, to the house of Allah. So in the same way, you should think that I am being called by Allah to promote the haq, to speak the haq. I will go and speak to that person who I think maybe is against me and ask them, is there an issue? Is there a problem we can sort out? Exactly. Beautiful action. At least start that from your home. You can have maybe clashes or conflicts with your children, with your wife or husband, your brothers and sisters. Always there are pots and pans clanging together, hands clapping and issues and conflicts. But 90% of it is based on conjecture, or based on suspicions or bad feelings. So we are in desperate need of this action. We need to do islah of ourselves and amongst ourselves. And if we have bad feelings, first of all, eliminate them from your heart and mind. But if not, then confront the issue. In Deoband, somebody was in this position. What happened in Kitab? How did the color of the Islam beautification come? How did our Aqabirin pious predecessors understand that we have to act on these issues? Why did they used to go and spend time with the walis of Allah? Why did they wake up in the night to do dhikr Allah? They wanted to do the Islam. They knew that this is Islam, this is ibadah worship, and to heal the broken minds and hearts is a massive worship. Because to break the heart of a person is a big thing. And to make the heart of somebody happy, to mend the broken hearts, is a very great deed indeed. Let's take a dog. If you please a dog, let's say, the creation of Allah. There was a dog, it was thirsty. That person took off his socks and filled the sock with water and presented that water to the dog, filled the sock with water, presented it to the dog, kept on giving the water to the dog. In the deed, this is that person died, Allah Ta'ala gave paradise to that person to please the dog. So tell me, to please a mu'min, a believer, a human being, how much reward will we get? Massive reward. We need to run after these rewards. We need to keep the basis of our actions. The basis of action should be love. We should create an Islamic environment. And that starts from home. We should never have swearing on the tip of our tongues. Anger. Look at the anger, the blessed anger of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That all they used to do was they used to restrain and suppress their anger. at their anger. And they used to, subhanAllah, teach us how to physically control the anger. Maybe they just slightly turn their face or show their displeasure, but they wouldn't go out and shriek out and freak out. SubhanAllah, if we follow the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will save ourselves from so many problems. Never be suspicious of your wife. Never think or feel bad about other people or your relatives or your friends. What do? We walk, we see someone, oh, he's walking like this, he's proud, he's trying to show me. Oh, he didn't pass me closely, he went further from me. Oh, he didn't pass by in front of my shop, he's trying to degrade me. He's looking down against me, he thinks his business is better. These are suspicions and ill feelings that we harbor in our hearts based on zero facts. My friends, we need to eliminate this from our hearts. This is not the status of a mu'min, to think like this, to feel like this, to practice like this. Look, we have the greatest religion of Islam, which propagates peace to the whole of the mankind and universe. And ourselves, we've got poison in our hearts. Islam is inviting people, come, come, peace, peace, aman, aman. Eliminate your arguments, enter into Islam. And this has happened. Alhamdulillah. Arguments for generations are annihilated, eliminated, when we come round on the table of Islam and understanding and peace and consideration and collaboration and mutual understanding and exchange. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this to the Sahaba, to the Muslims, to the non-Muslims, to the Mushrikeen, everybody. You will have heard this hadith many times. You will have heard this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us and said in a hadith about the Islamic environment, that Islam is such a deen that one cannot imagine that a Muslim is against another Muslim, arguing, fighting. Oh, on ma'amalat, on dunya, there's hasad and envy. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what a beautiful example he gave, that there is a one body. And if your eye is paining, the whole body is paining. If the hand is paining, the whole body is paining, feeling the pain. Oh, if the hand has got immense pain and it's throbbing, can the rest of the body ignore it? No, there's no sukoon, there's no peace, there's no satisfaction, there's no rest. If there's pain in the stomach doesn't accept the food, and the rest of the body feels the pain. And the brain says to the stomach, until you are not at peace and there's no pain, I cannot consume food, I cannot put anything into the mouth. Have you eaten, have you drank? No, because the stomach is ill, it's unwell, and you will not consume or put the food into the mouth because the stomach is unwell. This is the example that the Prophet Muhammad SAW gave. What a great example. The best example of brotherhood and love and kinship and consideration. Allahu Akbar. May we understand this totally. If today a mu'min was to understand this, we were to understand this, we take up space anywhere in the world where we are, we don't want to give that space to another person. I want to take more space up and don't give it to anyone else. And if there's somebody who's weak, I say, oh, sometimes I get, so many times you get elbowed in the masjid because you don't want to give space on that saf in your prayer position to somebody else. So you elbow them, you shove them, you push them. When I got the elbow, I understood that this person doesn't like me, so I stopped going to the first row. I went back behind the first row. And this is our muashara. This is our environment. We cannot imagine that the punishments descend and the azabs come. Why do the azabs come? Why are there punishments? Why are there punishments? So is islah a small subject? No, it's a massive subject. Islah, learning peace and love and muhabbat, social and true interaction, is a massive subject in Islam. We need to eliminate suspicion, bad feelings, bad thoughts against others. If we eliminate this sin from our lives, you will see 1,000 enemies within our locality will be eliminated, and people will start loving each other. If I don't have enmity with someone else, then he won't have enmity with me, and we will build our martial society. So let's do dua to Allah that we create a passion and a love. I told you in Deoband there was a generation, our Akabirin, our pious predecessors, they used to like praying salah, reading Quran, recitation. In that day and age, totally, there was a sketch of Islam, our Aqabirin in front of us showed and demonstrated to us. They liked everything. Not just reading Quran, practicing Quran. All night long they used to recite. And they used to like nawafil and voluntary actions. And as the season would change, the climate, the flowers would bud and come out in the seasons of the deen of Islam. And just like fard and compulsory deeds and necessary deeds, in the kitab it was recited that the muhtamam of Deoband, the head of the Deoband madrasa, down to the brother who used to clean and do the security of the whole area, all of them were dhakireen and sahib nisbat and had a connection with the walis of Allah. So that's why Deoband was Deoband. Everyone was immersed in that fikr. Everyone was immersed in that worry. From the head teacher, the head principal, through the ranks, through the teachers and students, to the person who would cook and serve and clean the madrasa, everyone had the same situation and rank and status, the kareem. And imagine the qala qala Rasulullah, imagine the teaching of hadith, imagine the recitation of Quran, commentary of Quran, how they annihilated the desires and crushed the desires and purified the nafs and desires. My brothers, this was the reality, this framework, this sketch is in front of us. We read this from the kitabs. So brothers, we have to have fikr of everything. Essential, critical fikr and worry of Islam rectification. And you will only develop this when you sit with the wali of Allah. You'll spend time with him. And you'll spend time in your day, in your week, once or twice you go. If you have a link, connection spiritually, sit in the majlis, the gathering of the wali, of your sheikh, and listen to him. And write down your conditions and your issues and your problems. Communicate that with your teacher. Have salam and dua and greetings with the sheikh. And communicate with the sheikh. There's so much barakat, so many blessings in communicating and sharing your situation. That if you write and tell your hazrat, your sheikh, your situation, if it's easy for you to do that, and you've got the means, by hand write the letter. If you can't post it to the house, if it's difficult, then write it by hand, then send it to another address. For example, the women, the sisters, they don't have address. But first and foremost, the person who's writing the letter should send it to the right address, because this is islah. And Allah is the one who's going to do the islah of the person. Allah is the one who extracts the sins. And Allah Ta'ala has kept reward for this, for communication. So Allah Ta'ala looks, as this person got passion, desire, he wants to clean himself, purify himself, does he want to leave his sins? Does she want to leave the sins? Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. If from our bodies the sins start to get eliminated, I swear by Allah, backbiting, envy, suspicion, spying, harboring ill feelings and bad thoughts against people, if with the fadl and blessings of Allah, from our bodies these sins start to come off and shake off and fall away, alhamdulillah, our total spiritual outlook will dramatically change. We will improve for the better. Not just from dhikr. No, from inside we have to extract the sins, the dirt, the impurities of the spiritual and inner diseases. We will remain animals. We will be worse than the animals if we don't extract these diseases. Can you understand? Today a murder and strife and fighting and quarreling in the world. Can you imagine? Is this the basis of humanity? Why does this happen? Because our akhlaq has diminished, has been destroyed, has been eliminated, and we don't want to improve this. We have no importance for this, nothing. That's all we do is we say, let's do ibadah, nafal ibadah. That's the way to success. No, do dua to Allah, pray to Allah, and always stay in this worry. These few words I've mentioned is for my rectification, but I'm trying to revive and awaken this fikr and worry within us. That alhamdulillah, if you are practicing and obeying and worshipping Allah physically with your limbs and praying, but at least when you go to sleep, before you go to sleep, lying down 5 minutes, think, have I got enmity against someone in my heart? In my heart, do I have bad feelings against somebody? Do I harbor ill feelings against anybody? Do I have revenge against anybody? I say honestly, Allah is present. If you've got this, the best cure is pick your hands up, say, Allah, all the worship I did today, please transfer it to that person who I've got bad feelings against. Subhanallah. Ah, beautiful solution. Beautiful solution. And it will clean the disease from your heart. Make this your habit. And this ajiz, this humble servant, has made this habit after every farad salah. When you do dua, raise your hands and pray. Then do this dua at the same time, that Allah, all those people who made mistakes, knowingly, unknowingly, consciously, unconsciously, who I've given pain and problems to, I thought about badly, or through my words I gave somebody pain. Make this your dua. Make this your dua. This is dua masura. Pick this up. This is in the hadith. Raise your hand, say, Allah, knowingly, unknowingly, consciously, unconsciously, with my body, without my body, in my heart, if I've done something bad against someone, Allah, forgive me, Allah, give him elevated status. The people have given pain, give them marifa, your ninis, your qurb. Ah, then you will see equality coming into your life, because all of the success in this world and hereafter is based on akhlaq, manners. Otherwise, my brothers, it will be severe test in the hereafter. Severe test. Don't think about your prayer and hajj and zakah and fasting. I'll give you a bigger example. I'm telling you a unique point. Listen clearly about hisab, the accounting of the Day of Judgment. Open your eyes wide. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, what a great sahabi. Amirul Mu'mineen. If I start speaking about him and praising him, we could be here for hours. The ulama ikram, they speak a lot. You know about this. And mashallah, today, subhanallah, we are speaking about him. And inshallah, we should do dua that we are raised with him on the day of judgment. And also look at this example here, where the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had his sheikh and his friends, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu. And Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, he had an assistant who was close to him, and he saw someone in a dream after 8 years. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu saw him in a dream, and he sweated. He was sweating. His close accomplice and colleague saw him in the dream after 8 years, and Hazrat Umar radiallahu was sweating. He said, "You have died 8 years ago, Umar, and you are distressed and you are sweating." And he wiped away sweat and he said the name of that Sahabi's friend. He said, "After 8 years, today, the accounting of my sultanate, my kingdom at that time when I was the ruler Amir, today the accounting is finished." And this is Umar. The Umar said, "If there's a dog that is dying, who will give the reply?" Umar, if he is within the sultanate, the Khilafat at that time, he said, "After 8 years, my reckoning finished, and that's why I'm wiping away my sweat. I'm free today from my hisab, from my accounting. What am I? What are you? Tell me, what are we?" And our situation is such that after every salah, and even while we're sleeping, we should think about our sins and our akhlaqi sins, our sins based on conduct and manners. Allah, whichever person I have oppressed, Allah, if I'm not asking for forgiveness, if he has gone, he has died, Allah Ta'ala, then give him the best of the things from my deeds, because I've committed sins against him. In the day, if I commit the sins, I break the hearts of people. In the day, if I oppress someone or I'm injustice to someone, whether it's my children or my relatives or a stranger, to break the heart of a son, to break the heart of a daughter is a bad thing. And the wife, she is the daughter of someone else, and to do bad against her is bad. And we do so many sins over little things. We rebuke and scold and have enmity, and we carry those sins with us. What a beautiful system. After every salah, 5 times a day, be hopeful in Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy, that Allah, for the sake of this, save me. Will you do this, brothers? Say inshallah. Make this your habit, that at least, that you should account and balance your hisab and reckoning. Allah Ta'ala will be merciful to us. Allah, we are weak, we are sinners. Allah, please help us, assist us. But at least make your luggage with thereafter. Allah will say, "Okay, fine, no problem. He kept on asking forgiveness, Okay, let him go into paradise. He's weak. And the people in the previous generations, mashallah, they had more. He had a little bit, but he kept on asking for forgiveness. Okay, forgive him." So at least do this. That Allah, forgive me. I'm bad, Allah. I've committed sins. Allah, forgive me. And the people I've oppressed and I've been unjust against, Allah, give them your heights and your nearness and your qurb. And Allah, forgive me for this sake. May Allah Ta'ala give us, just like we pray and zakat and hajj and fasting and talawat and recitation, may Allah Ta'ala increase this passion and desire. Do this a lot. But in the same way, do your islah of your sins from within. May Allah Ta'ala increase the desire for this. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq for this, that we step and make footsteps for this. We physically go towards this. We go to the walis of Allah. We do our islah. We beg for our islah, for our rectification, and say that, "Please do my islah. Please tell me a solution." They don't need to do islah. They have no need for doing islah. We have to go ourselves to them. We have to beg to them ourselves that, "Please look towards me and do dua for me." Allah Ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqulla qunu ma'as-sadiqin." We never go to a wali, we never sat down, we never had sabr, we never had patience, we never requested somebody to become our teacher or to concentrate on us, to identify our sins, our deficiencies. We never bow our heads. We think we are the best. We are haughty and pride. We think we do not need any curing. We don't even think we're ill. Rather, the person that we're sent to, we say, "Oh no, his deficiencies are this and this, X, Y, Z," and we start to extract the astaghfirullah deficiencies from that person who's meant to be our teacher. My friends, set forth and physically go towards the solution, and inshallah, when we depart from this world, we'll be purified from the sins, zahiri, external, and batini, internal, spiritually. Recite Durood Sharif.